Amazing Grace was John Newton's testimony of his relationship with his God. Likewise, your song is your testimony of your relationship with your God. So I'm going to challenge you to choose this day to sing to him a new song. If you'd like to join me, turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start reading in verse 25 of Acts 16. And I'll be reading from the NASB. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. Now that's some song. Paul and Silas were singing. Now you're probably asking, what were they singing to bring about that much? Well, we know this much for sure. It was not an old song. It was a new song. What does that mean? If you turn back in time to 1 Kings chapter 19, we find the Elijah. Okay, he's the representative of Yahweh. He is known and respected for his position throughout the land. This is the guy that just thundered, "Abundance of rain," to end a 3.5-year drought. Same Elijah. What's he doing now? Hiding in a cave. Lord asks him, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah, he's all that. He's, "I'm all alone. She's gonna chop me to bits." Drop down to verses 11 and 12 with me. So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. So we have God telling him, get out of the cave, get to your feet, stand before me on this mountain. So Elijah obeys, and he sees, and he hears, and he feels this great and strong wind, an earthquake, a fire. Now, all of these elements are recognized as something we call a theophany. A theophany is a direct, perceivable manifestation of the presence of God. So Elijah is witnessing all of these acts. Now, can we find a psalm that has all three of these acts at once? We can, and it's Psalm 18. So Elijah thinks he is living Psalm 18. Starting with verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken. Because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Drop down to verse 10. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. Moving on to verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now, we know this psalm. This is a psalm of David. This is a song of God as a sovereign savior. This is a song that recognizes that God is a tower of strength. He is our source for help, our source for deliverance from enemies. Okay, so God was present in the wind, in the earthquake, and in the fire for David, but not for Elijah. So Elijah has to wrestle with this, and God has to unpack this for him. He says, Elijah, I had a unique and intentional relationship with King David. I caused those elements to happen as a result of his personal actions. But David's reign ended 150 years ago. I am an originator. I bring things into existence for the first time every day. Have I ever used an unclean animal that eats an unclean diet to bring food to any other of my chosen messengers? Elijah was fed by ravens. Think, people, what do ravens eat? Yeah, that's bringing you your lunch. So he's saying, Elijah, I'm the creator. I'm the inventor. I'm not the God that once was. You have forgotten who I am. Elijah needed the new, still, small voice. He needed a new song. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. They were singing a new song, a song of rejoicing in the present condition of their affliction, in accordance with their present relationship with their God. How fresh is your witness? How far back do each of you have to reach to share a testimony? Even scarier, if God testified to the last time you abundantly blessed him, how far back would he have to reach? So Paul and Silas, they are singing a new song of the moment, of the here, of the now, of the condition and circumstance where they are. But to whom are they singing? It was to God. Now, that might seem bloody obvious to you, but think about it. They're not singing to the prisoners. They're not singing to themselves. They're not singing to each other. This is not a song to perform for someone who's lonely. This is not an attempt to rehabilitate the other guys in the cells. This is not a de-stressor mechanism for Paul and Silas. This is not a therapy to revive each other to help them endure the challenge. It was to God. Now, I have at home a Young's Analytical Concordance. Now, how that works differently from a Strong's, the Young's Analytical takes a word and gives you a list of the occurrences of how that word is used. So I looked up sing to. So I found only five instances in the Bible when the recipient of the song was not God. Five. In the other 98 occurrences of sing to, we are to sing praise, to give forth the voice, to respond, to loudly cry, to sing an ode, to sing praise accompanied by a musical instrument, to boast in praise, to sing a hymn to God. So Paul and Silas are showing their appreciation of all of who God is and what he was doing for them. Now, how is God going to respond to that? He supernaturally shakes. Four different ways. See, he's approving of the worship from Paul and Silas. That's the shaking. Don't be afraid of the shaking when that happens to you. So he shakes the assembly. He shakes the prison. That's the first shaking, shaking the prison. Just as he shook the place where Peter, John, and the elders were assembled, just before he filled them all with the Holy Ghost in Acts 4:31, same thing. This prison is now holy ground. The next thing he shakes is the doors off the hinges, the chains from the walls, and from their limbs. Now, last I checked, earthquakes can do that. However, when was the last time that happened when no one was injured or died? Right. See, only God can do that. Only God can send an earthquake that breaks what binds you, yet does not injure you in the process. Number three, he shakes the prison warden. This poor guy was shaken physically awake, and God wakes him up spiritually too. When you look at what he says, when you go back, kurios, lords, masters, what must I do to be saved? That kind of a question is assuming some things. It's assuming that Paul and Silas know what he's talking about, know from their own relationship with God how that works. And it also assumes that this prison warden has some hunger, has some thirst. He wants that relationship with God for himself, and he wants to know how to get it. Fourth shaking. And this is the one that really gets me. This is the one that really got me opening the scripture apart. He shakes the prison warden's whole family. Now, those of you that are experts in Roman law of the time, I know there's lots of you here with that. Okay. There was an allowance in the law that prison guards and wardens could extend leniency to a prisoner if they had the ability to escape but didn't. You could lessen the sentence. So, Paul and Silas, okay, so they can get special treatment from the Roman government. But I want you to really think about the special treatment that these guys get. This goes way above and beyond. First thing that happens, these are convicted men, right? In the prison. Where do we next see them? At the prison warden's private home. When was the last time you took two prisoners out of jail and said, "Come on over to my house and meet my family"? Okay? The warden treats their wounds. Soon as they walk in the door, he busts out the first aid kit and starts treating their wounds. Who does that? And this is my favorite part of the whole thing. How many of you caught that they were baptized, he and the whole household? Did you stop to think where that would have happened? Wouldn't have been in the house. They wouldn't have had a mikveh that would have enabled that. So they had to go to either a bathhouse publicly, or they had to go to a river. In any case, the whole family would have been publicly seen walking with the prisoners, Paul and Silas, to either the bathhouse or the river, and then having that done publicly. Last I checked, that's not considered a safe or smart thing to do. They all do it. Doesn't say how long it took them to get there, doesn't say where they end up. But it ain't in the house. They go somewhere publicly to proclaim that Jesus is the Lord of their lives. And they're willing to do it through these two prisoners. So, the new song is a testimony to the character of God. Paul and Silas are demonstrating true joy in their lives. I want you to think about this. What would have happened if Paul and Silas didn't sing? If they just... This is it. We're done. We're doomed. It's been fun. Mission accomplished. Evangelism over. Everything that transpired, the earthquake to the baptisms, they were all direct results of these two men and their praise to God. So when we sing our new songs, we overflow with creative, free-spirited, spontaneous outbursts of our souls, of what God is doing in our lives. And he humbles us by who he is. He is the author of those songs. How humbled are you by who God is? What is he writing on your heart, on your mind? What is he doing in your life? So, you guys know part of this story. On June 2nd, 2020, I went and saw Dr. Awan in West Bend. He was my radiation oncologist. And he only had bleak news for me and for my family. He said that the surgery was a failure. None of the slides had clean margins. And the tumor was between the size of a golf ball and a baseball. End-stage cancer. And because we had to discontinue the radiation treatment, he said, you're only left with one trajectory here. You see, I see patients with adenoid cystic carcinoma throughout my practice. I've treated between 75 to 80 of them. I know how this disease works. You are going to be blind in 6 months and dead in a year. So, you guys are probably thinking that my mind went down the following road, that, okay, so this is June. Am I going to set up the Christmas tree at home this year? How long should I continue to teach at Beth Haven Academy? How long should I continue to teach here? What about all of the rest of the highs and lows in Sean's life that I'm going to miss? But the truth is, my mind didn't go down that road. I thought about what God had already done for me. Every simple pleasure he allowed me to enjoy, time that he gave me to spend with other people, dreams he brought to fruition, I couldn't help but feel grateful. So I said, I had a conversation with Ben. I met with him and I said, Ben, why is it that whenever you hear a pastor at the pulpit give this message that God is the one that numbers our days, and we hear that, and it goes, but when a man with an opinion, educated as it is, not going to knock a doctor, because I am one, well, different kind, but that's a separate issue. With an opinion that says, this is all the time you have left. Why do we panic over that? So, that to me doesn't make any sense. And you guys know I like to reason out everything ad nauseum. So, I just could not accept that. So, the more I testify to my blessings, the more I realize something. I said, Lord, if you give me 100 years, and in that amount of time, I'm supposed to take that time to thank you for every blessing you have given me, I'd run out of time. So Sean remembers this very well. We were riding in his car, and I said, Lord, you don't have to heal me. You don't owe me anything. You've already done more for me than I deserve. than what I asked for. I already have a way home. Think about it, church. God takes me. I close my eyes to this world. I open them to heaven. I'm trading up. So, think about it. You get to actually see with new eyes what an angel looks like, what the heavenly creatures look like. I then can give my list to God of other questions that I have that I want him to answer. I have a list. Hey, so, and I get to see what Jesus looks like in the reality there? Come on! How is this bad? And Sean was like, yeah, I'll miss you, but I am not going to argue with God on this one and say, you know, just give mom 5 minutes and then bring her back. No. You know, so, and I knew that God was going to take care of Shane and Sean. So, I'm blessed no matter what he decides. He heals me here. He heals me there. Tain't no cancer in heaven. So, either way, I get healed. So I decided I'd rather spend my time worshiping, seeking his heart, praying for the perseverance to obey his word, to encourage as many people as God was going to give me, as long as I was on this side of the grass. But then look what all of you did. This church, all of you, the prayers from this church. Travis, the Murrays, these guys knew I was healed before I did. Am I right? Okay. Where's Tricia? Little hider? Okay. Oh, that'll teach her. What Tricia and I did all that summer, from June to September. You know, it's amazing Trisha's not sick of me. He transformed this analytical head into an ornamental soul. The Father sat us both down at his feet, and he taught us how, and he taught us why to orchestrate new songs. What did God do in response? Come on! I continue to nightly meet with God with prayers and intercessions he composes on my heart. My husband's a witness. Drives him nuts that I wake up in the middle of the night every single night. And it happens at different times, and it happens for different periods of time. There are times when I'm up the entire night and still going in the morning. Now, I don't know what Ben has in his coffee, but he ought to have what I get, because if I can make it on as little sleep as I get, hey, so I continue to nightly meet with him in prayer. I continue to thank him daily for the gift of sight. A lot of you know this, that, okay, I was supposed to go blind first. Very first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I force my eyes to look at my alarm clock. Why? Because it's something I can see. It's lit. And I thank him for the gift of sight. And I exalt him through my apologia, right? With my new song. So, I'm a teacher. I like to come up with clever definitions. So here's some clever definitions for you. Hope. Hope is confident expectation. Faith is hope before evidence confirms it. Praise is applause to God for every atom of your faith. Adoration is magnifying God when praise is costly. Worship is adoring God through sacrifice and death of self. Singing a new song, that becomes the gift God gives you when he approves of your worship. Stand with your feet this morning and let's just thank God for the new song that he is going to write on every one of your hearts, on every one of your minds, the new song. Not what he did for you 10 years ago. Not what he did for this church 5 years ago. Not what he did for me last September. What he's doing for you this day. This day, a new song to him. Lord, we offer up ourselves. Use us as your composition page. Write a new song in our hearts, in our minds, on our souls. Make it the spontaneous outburst. Our testimony that you're real, that you are a God who heals, that you are a God that perseveres, you are a God of faithfulness. Even when I am not seeing the evidence of it yet, I know who you are, and I trust you. And I'm lifting myself up on that altar to you to be the fragrant offering for you, my King, my Savior, my Creator, my Originator, the Author, my God. This is all to you, all for your name, all for your glory. It is yes and amen. If you need prayer, we have altar ministers that are super excited to pray for you, with you, to come alongside. And if there's something that you need from me, I'm right here. May the Lord bless you for the rest of your day today. Oh,